Titus, the first chapter. And I feel the Lord has something for us tonight. Amen. I love the way the Lord ministers. I love the way the Lord teaches. Amen. So Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Amen. That's where we want to read. The word says here, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You may be seated. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Are you thankful for the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ? But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, regardless of what you tell them, regardless of what you try to explain, nothing matters. Nothing makes sense. Nothing's pure. They're going to look and they're going to find, they're going to complain. They're going to find fault. Amen. The Message Bible says this as an interpretation to this in a more modern English language. Everything is clean to the clean-minded. Nothing is clean to the, this is what it says, the dirty-minded believers. Unbelievers. They leave their dirty fingerprints on every act and thought. They say they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words. Amen. Your walk talks more than your talk talks. Amen. I want to just talk to us tonight from that still small, about that still small voice. And how God will use that voice in us, called our conscience, to speak to us. That still small voice that is there. And we're also going to just talk about training our conscience to hear God. I want to hear God. I want to know what's right. How about you? I want to know the very certain sound. Man, there's just something years ago. I was, me and Sister Crosswhite went, Brother Colton and the girls and Brother Murray, they live right up the road here. And Abigail and Gloriana were real little. And I can remember we were there and we were just sitting talking and they heard a certain sound coming up the road, and immediately those little girls said, "Pawpaw!" They jump and they ran to the door, jumping up and down. They heard a certain sound. I want to know the voice of God, don't you? I want to know the voice. I want to be attuned to the voice. There's nothing like when God speaks. Amen. The enemy is a master of deception. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of things that will come in your head and come in your mind. But there's something about the voice of God. God's voice will always comply and match his word. The word of God and the voice of God will always be together. Somebody say amen. There's a lot of voices out there that are deceiving voices. Have you ever paused mid-action because something inside said, "Don't do that"? How many's ever had that happen to you? Man, don't do that. There's been times something said, "Stop." I was driving down the road one time, and I turned down a road, and something said, "Stop." And I looked in my rearview mirror. Nobody's behind me. I put it in reverse. And I still to this day don't understand why, but I felt something uneasy and something said, stop. I want to recognize that inner voice that we call the conscience. And the conscience, for a simple definition, is that inner awareness that urges us towards right and away from wrong things. Here's the question tonight. Is your conscience always right? Is your conscience always right? And I want to address, number one, the problem with the conscience sometimes. You know, a conscience can be wrong. Titus, the first chapter, verse 15 right here says that a conscience can be defiled. What does the word defile mean? The word defile means, let's just put it this way. Who in their right mind would take a clean dish out of the cabinet? Who in their right mind would run to the pig pen and get pig mud in it and bring it back in the house and pour your cereal in it and milk and mix it up? That dish was defiled. That bowl was defiled. And a conscience can be defiled, but I believe that a defiled conscience is more than just a dish being tainted. You see, that dish can be washed and scrubbed. I would scrub it very much. But there's something about a conscience when it is defiled. It becomes dangerous. 1 Timothy 4 says in verse 2, that a conscience can be seared. Anybody can help me with the word seared. What does it mean when something is seared? Something that is burned. It is burned to the place that when you sear something, that is almost like, when I think about it, there were people that had to amputate in the Civil War, amputate limbs, and the artery was just, blood was going out, and then they would take a hot poker out of the fire and sear that artery, burn it shut. And when I hear that word seared, a conscience being seared, something begins to completely burn it to where there's no longer that flow of God through it, to where a person, they just don't have that inside of them no more. I want to tell you, not all inner voices are trustworthy. You know, the conscience, next thing, the conscience does not set the standard. It only applies what it has been taught. Let me give you an illustration. A thermostat don't control temperature. It reflects the setting. A sundial. Anybody know what a sundial is? You know, they used to use it to tell the time. You know, a sundial can be manipulated depending on the light. I could take a flashlight and cast a shadow. Truth is not based on feelings. Truth is based on the Word of God. And many have what I want to just refer to tonight as an unconscious conscience. A conscience that is no longer conscious, or something that is not awakened in them. Have you ever seen where sin no longer bothers somebody? They lose the ability to blush. And let me just say this tonight. Culture, our culture has redefined sin. And I want to just say this today, and I want to be polite. This is not a new thing. The book of Kings and the book of Chronicles in my daily Bible reading, there were people of God that got richly blessed. God touched and God helped them and God provided for them. But something happened where they started worshiping other gods. I don't believe that, friend, that anybody in their right mind is going to go get them a gold monkey. I'm not talking about gold as far as a gold-colored fur, but I'm talking about a golden monkey. And put it in their house and bow down in and kiss his toe every morning. But they're more than just gods of stone and gold and silver that people begin to worship. They'll start worshiping whims, feelings, emotions, ideas. Have you ever seen somebody that got to the place they knew better than everybody else? It's crazy when a person that don't pray, that don't know a lick of the word of God, don't know God, will look at me in the eye and say to me, I don't feel that way. The Bible, you're judging me. The Bible really don't say that. When they don't pray, they don't seek God. They're not in tune with God. They don't understand the things of God. But our culture has redefined sin. And let me just say this. That culture wants to strangle the church. The culture wants to invade the mindsets of our lives. I want to say this from my heart today. We don't belong in this culture. We belong in a different culture. We're the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're finding there are people that have preferences instead of sin. Now, you know, it used to be these things were sin. But today it's just a preference. I want to say this, if the word of God declares it as a sin. Amen. Like one old man used to say, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck. Anything associated with sin was something that we begin to abstain from. But today, man has got so defining, hair splitting, to where they feel they can handle it. I want to say this today, we can't handle sin. There's a struggle instead of just simple obedience. And when the conscience is ignored, I hear this, it becomes silent. It becomes unconscious. It becomes dormant. Thank God for a preaching conscience, aren't you? Are you thankful when the Lord says no? Are you thankful when the Holy Ghost tells you no? Amen. How many are still having the Holy Ghost talk to you sometimes? Amen. There's two things that I want to be sure of in the Holy Ghost. I want to be sure when the Holy Ghost says no, and I want to be sure when the Holy Ghost says go. Woo, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the source of a right conscience tonight. Without God, hear me, without God, conscience is human opinion. It is something cultured by humanity. It's formed by culture, environment, or personal reasoning. Hear me? Personal reasoning, where somebody just keeps hammering out and trying to justify something that the Lord leans against, that the Spirit leans against, but yet they begin to hammer it out to finally they make it palatable, the reasoning for their own taste, and justify what we would call sin. That leads to confusion and what we call compromise. But with God, the conscience becomes a spiritual guidance system. God speaks through his Spirit. He speaks through his word. How beautiful when the Holy Ghost, amen, begins to work on us. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say this. Amen. I need the Holy Ghost working on me. Amen. Conviction is not a negative thing to me, and neither should it be to you. Conviction ought to be something that you're growing in instead of growing out of. Hallelujah. Babies grow out of diapers, but I want to tell you, mature saints grow into conviction. I want to grow in conviction. The still small voice is not loud. Let me say that the Spirit of the Lord, even in the conscience and God speaking through it, is not forceful, but it is consistent. The word will be consistent to the voice that God begins to use through your conscience. And the next thing, it will be convicting. Now, when God convicts, when he pricks the heart like he did in the book of Acts, I want to have sense enough to say, men and brother, what must I do? And when the Holy Ghost begins to work, here we find also the Apostle Paul before he was Paul. On the road to Damascus, the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul had sense enough to say, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I'm thankful that when Paul said, I need to know who you are, who are you? The Lord gave Paul directions, instructions, and God had a purpose for him. Are you thankful that God still directs people? But you got to desire God. And when you seek God, his voice will guide you. Amen. There was things I was praying about one time. And I was asking God, okay, God, I'm having problems with this. And I had been put on a spot before. Have you ever been put on the spot? And I was praying. I said, God, I need help. And I love it in the middle of the night, the Holy Ghost just speaks so gently. And it's like when the Lord spoke, man, I woke up. And all of a sudden, it was just as clear as a bell what I needed to do. That's the way the Holy Ghost, that he leads and guides you, amen, in his spirit. But if we got to have a word-taught conscience. The way that you teach your conscience and the word, you cultivate the seed of your heart. You cultivate your thinking. You cultivate your mind to stay conscious of God. In a service, there's times that, man, how many has ever been severely distracted and nobody distracts you in a service? You know what I'm talking about? You try to pay attention. Man, there's been times I've seen people so distracted and they couldn't help it. There was just something in them and the Holy Ghost was trying to get a hold of them, but something distracts them. I want to stay God conscious in a service as a pastor. Amen. Way before service ever begins, amen, I start seeking God. I start looking at the current. Start looking at the winds. Amen. Like a sailor that would look and trying to find the ebbs and the flow, the tide and all this. I start seeking God. I start praying. I start believing God. There's sometimes I'll walk through this building and walk through the chairs and say, God, you know who's going to be here that needs this service. I just don't want to preach to give you a good sermon. But I want the word and the spirit of God to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to stay God conscious. And I love it when a church becomes mature enough to become that eager, hungry student of God that says, God, where you lead, I'm following. Amen. Hope Red, I love it when the Holy Ghost moves in a service like we had Sunday. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost is flowing. Amen. But amen, right in the middle where people worship and shouting and running the aisles, the Holy Ghost can lead you this way into that sacred place. Amen. Oh, beyond the veil, so to speak, into the throne room of God. Are you thankful for the power, the impact, and the leading of the Holy Ghost? I'm talking to us today. Amen. Keep your mind fertile for the things of God. Keep your mind cultivated. Amen. Brother Martin, you just begin to dig potatoes that you have planted, but you just didn't walk out there and just say, well, I'm looking for potatoes. Just because you planted last year and a harvest, amen, you had to start again this year. And you had to put the seedlings in the ground and get it ready. You had to prepare. I want to tell you, just because you had to move the Holy Ghost Sunday, amen, we come back again tonight and say, God, I come to plow. I come to prepare. I come to get my soul ready. I want to stay God conscious. So we got to school and educate ourselves. It's not automatically perfect, but it can be trained by the Word of God, by the preaching of the Word of God. You know, my old pastor's been dead, and I said unto my pastor from before I was born till I was about 16 years old, we moved to Texas, put their signs behind the pulpit. I still hear my pastor. I still hear him preaching. I still hear his voice inside me. Sister Sharon, I can imagine you hear your daddy all the time. Amen. The Word of God. There's something about that voice. Oh, it wasn't just Pastor Spell. Amen. Not just his voice. Amen. I heard my pastor, yes. Amen. But there was more than him. I've watched him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost many a times. Amen. Get in that vein of God. Amen. Oh, and sometimes in the Holy Ghost, I still hear the voice of my shepherd. Hallelujah. Thank God for the voice. So we must go to school in our life to shapen and sharpen ourselves, to know the leading of the Spirit. You know, your knowledge plus your conscience works together. The more word you know, the more sensitive your conscience becomes. You got to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be what? Ashamed. Rightly dividing what? The word of truth. I don't want to be ashamed. That's the reason why I need the word. I want you to think about it like this. The conscience is like a window, and the word is like a light. Dirty windows means less light. Clean windows means clear direction. That's the reason why I had to pray, God, let if there's anything in me, on me, Lord, clean it. And I want to feed that conviction in my life. I want to feed that ability to get close to God, stay close to God. Let me just ask this question. Why some feel no conviction? One, because there's not enough word, not enough exposure to truth. And the next thing is no reception. Good seed can fall on bad ground. And the birds of the field could steal it and eat it. Jesus used the parables, didn't he? And some could fall on stony ground. I want my ground, I want my reception to be where I could receive. I want the Lord to use me. I want to tell you the reason why there a lot of times there's no conscience at action or at work where it's working right is because there's no conviction in a life. You know the reason why there's no conviction? There's no true repentance. The word repentance has become a cheap word in Pentecost. The word repentance has become something where somebody feels you're just confessing your faults and say, Lord, clean me. I fell in the mud. No. I don't want the Lord just to clean the mud off of me. I don't need God to be my spiritual car wash. I need the Lord to help me to stay out of the mud. Give me that ability, Lord, to step away from things that would trip me, dirty me, mess me up, and, Lord, mess my testimony up. Amen. I won't have sense enough to be guided by the Spirit of God. So the role of conviction in your life, John the 16th chapter verse 8 says, and when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. God convicts of sin. He convinces right things. And he gives you a sense of judgment in your life. That sense of judgment is the ability to go, you know, this don't feel right. This don't taste right. This don't even appear right. It don't sound right. Amen. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Huh. I want to know the voice of God. How about you? Amen. Would you just lift your hands and pray that right now? Lord, touch my sense, God, to know your voice. Let me know your voice. Let me know the word. Let me know your way, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and power. Thank you for the work of your spirit, Lord. Let me know your voice. Let me know your voice. Let me know the way of your spirit, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, another thing is, I don't want the Lord to have to constantly tell me over and over again. I use something simple. When I used to could run, the Holy Ghost would speak to me, and I'll say, is it me or is it God? Is it me or is it God? Or is it me or is it God? You don't have that? I still have that. Amen. We're human. But I would ID God constantly. How would you like, is that really, check Sister Becky's fingerprints or toe prints or eyes or, you know, pupils, and now we need Social Security. Let's make sure that's really you. Now I need your passport, Sister Becky. Is that really you? What about your driver's license? Let me see. Any other form of ID? I mean, she runs out of ID. You know what? Then I realized the devil's not going to tell me, and self for sure is not going to tell me to run the aisle. After a while, I started learning that. Amen. And the devil's not going to tell you to do right. Praise God. But conviction, when the Lord convicts you of something, and God begins to turn the light on something in your life that is not right, or something that you're fixing to get into, and the Lord begins to convict you, conviction is not your enemy. It becomes your best friend. It's God's mercy and the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, doesn't it? Man, I don't care how well you justify yourself, we should never again be growing out of conviction. We ought to be growing in conviction. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 through 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Godly sorrow. And let me read the scripture. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye may receive damage by us in nothing. The Lord has that ability to start working. And when he works things out of us. Are you thankful for the goodness of the potter's hand, how he works things out? And biblical example after example through the word of God, where conviction produces an awareness. It produces an urgency. It produces a surrender. Let me give you the modern contrast today. Back on the day of Pentecost, when they were pricked in their heart, they said, what shall we do? Our generations, where's the entertainment? Where's the entertainment? Where's the entertainment at, Pastor? Who's going to tell the joke before service? There's churches that literally have somebody to come tell a joke before the preaching. Get everybody laughing. Get everybody just on the same page. I'm going to tell you, we need to develop a strong conscience. Hebrews says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. I want to draw near to God with a clean conscience. How about you? The next thing, I want to live honestly. To live honestly, you're going to have to live earnestly. Earnestly. Hebrews 13:8, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things, willing to live honestly. Next thing, I want to stay in truth and bounds. The scripture said in 2 Corinthians 4:2, there's those that have renounced the hidden things. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'm thankful that truth will appeal to conscience, to your conscience. The truth will work on you. And I love truth, don't you? Next thing, we have to keep it sensitive. Don't ignore conviction. Don't justify sin. Every time you ignore something of God and the voice of God, it becomes weaker. The world says, this is a famous saying, let your conscience be your guide. I mean, he's ever heard that over and over again. I heard it over and over again. Just let your conscience be your guide. But the truth is, let God guide your conscience. Don't let your conscience guide you without the Spirit of God. I'll tell you the reason why. There's a difference between a sheep and a goat.
That's right.
I don't want to let the goat, the greatest of all time, right here, this dude in the mirror, guide me. I don't want the flesh to guide me. And listen to this powerful statement. A conscience without God is dangerous. But a conscience trained and yielded to the word of the Lord becomes a direct line to God's voice. You know, a smoke detector, when it's working, will warn you early. When disabled, situation normally catch you unnoticed, and it's too late. Young lady that we have known, their mobile home caught on fire. And was it her sister? And it was two that passed away, and they were right at the door. Niece and her mama at the door. They found them at the door. They were dead in the fire. So it makes you thankful for that alarm, aren't you? Thankful for the alarm. Your conscience is your spiritual alarm system. Don't silence it, but train. One of the things they try to teach in school, they'll have a fire drill. Sister Kristen, y'all have fire drills? Woo, today. First Tuesday of the month, right? Fire drills. Man, I used to like when our school had fire drills. They teach you where the exit door. Anybody see any exit doors in this church? Exit signs? Yeah, they got exits, way out. Fire drills teach you how to leave. And the Church of the Living God, we need to teach things like this, that whenever you're tempted and you feel like you can't get out of a situation, the Bible says, in every temptation, God makes a way of what? Escape. Amen. Look for the escape route. When you're tempted and you feel boxed in, God will make a way of escape every time. I'm thankful for the word of God. I'm thankful for the conscience. That still small voice. Amen. Let God be your guide. Let him turn the light on in your life. And let him show that he's a great God and a great Savior. I want to grow in the Holy Ghost. How about you? I want a maturing God. And a maturing saint of God grows in conviction. Amen. And I want the things of righteousness in my life. Amen. Would you stretch your hands to Jesus right now? And I want you to pray for you as you reach up to God. Lord, mold me and help me today, God, to be a good soldier. God, to be mindful of myself, to be mindful of you, to be mindful, Lord, what you feel and your spirit and your word. Lord, let conviction always be in my heart, my mind, that I could be a soldier for you and a well representative for you, Jesus, that in this daily war that I walk worthy of the call that you've called me to be, Lord. Help me to be one, Lord, that represents you well. My words, my deeds, my conversation, and everything I do, God, that I give you praise. I love you, Jesus. Help me, Lord, today. I give you praise. I give you honor. Amen. Lord, closing. We were sitting in a restaurant, and I don't know songs. I was raised in church. I did not listen to country and Western music. I did not listen to rock and roll. Did not have all these things in my mind. But occasionally, different places, you learn some songs. We were sitting in a restaurant and a song came on. And, you know, a lot of worldly songs will have that catchy influence. I mean, it was catchy. And just as soon as we got home, I got my iPad and I Googled that song. And I didn't even like the artist. And I go to find it, and I fistin' to hit play. Just fistin' to hit that word play. And something says, no. And I didn't. I pulled back, and a little bit later, I set the iPad down. About 2 minutes later, I picked it back up. And I thought, I'm going to find it and listen to it. It just going over and over my mind. And right when I pulled it up, all of a sudden, something said, no. That second time, I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to tell you something so small could be so detrimental, so influential, so misleading. But I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that still says no. Two things. Again, know the word no and know the word go. And God will always use your life. Amen.
Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go.
Would you sing it?
Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go.
Sing it again. Your hands and sing it tonight.
Would you
lead me, Lord? I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. I will answer. Jesus, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Let's go to heaven. How? Thursday is our first things first. First Thursday of night of the month, we have prayer. And let me just remind you, let you know that some of our children that we pick up on our bus, it was their apartment that caught on fire the other night. Be in prayer for these children. And God would protect, God would keep, and want the hand of the Lord on them. Amen. Also, I want to thank Brother Thancher's not here tonight, but Brother Pirtle, did you find something coming in the door tonight? Sister Sharon, have you looked down there? Even Brother Fancher is manufacturing and put a good handrail coming in the hall back here. Amen. So when you see him, make sure you thank him. Thank you, everybody that does their part around the house of God. Let's go to heaven. You're dismissed.